Adam Pengilly, a very good morning to you.
Morning, Mido. Morning, boys.
Let's start with what your take on what we saw yesterday at Combank Stadium.
Yeah, fantastic for Tigers fans, isn't it, Mido? They had no right to win that game when they were 8 points down and Lachlan Galvin in a sin bin for 10 minutes in the second half, particularly given how much defence they had to do in that first half. But there's a bit of a different feel and a bit of a different resolve around about the Tigers this year, isn't there, from what we've seen so far in the first few weeks. And to come back and win that game with a couple of really good tries, and obviously that try that Galvin set up for Dream Buller was just a icing on the cake. It would have been cruel on them to lose to Clint Gutherson's penalty goal after the siren, given the way they scratched and clawed and fought their way back into that game. So just really happy for Benji Marshall, really happy for the Tigers squad, and probably more importantly, happy for their supporters, because it's been a long, long, well, how many years now can you say for Tigers fans? But they look like a team they can get around this year. I know it's only early in the season, but some really promising signs at the moment.
I know it's only early in the season, Adam, but geez, it's going to take a good side to stop Penrith.
Yeah, Loz, they were incredible on Thursday night, weren't they? I really thought the Roosters needed to lay down a marker in that game. Like, you look at their squad on paper and you think, this is a squad that's capable of going to a grand final and potentially winning a comp. And if you're playing against Penrith without Cleary, Fisher-Harris, Sorensen, I thought they had to win that game. I know it's not early in the year, but win that game and win well to sort of lay down an early season marker. But to be fair, I know we're talking about the obstruction call, the disallowed try for Joseph Manu, but the scoreline flattered the Roosters in the end. The Penrith are much the better team last Thursday night. It just goes to show what an incredible system they have. And even when Nathan's out, like Brad Schneider, I thought was great. He just simplified his game, was error-free, just did his role. And the rest of the parts around him just worked, didn't they? So, yeah, it's scary to think, Loz, isn't it? We're only a month into the season, but the way it looks at the moment, like they're a Monty for the top four if they keep playing the way they are. And who's to say they're not going to win a fourth straight title? And when we talk about salary cap eras and equalisation of the competition, there just seems like there's no slowing them down at the moment.
All right, let's talk some racing. And what did you make of Orchestral in the Vinery, this star Kiwi filly, which needed nearly all of the 2,000 metres to get there?
Yeah, she was back like a horse that was unbeatable throughout the week, wasn't she, Mido? She was heavily supported leading up to jump time on Saturday. And I've got to say, I reckon halfway down the straight, I tipped you guys Zardozi is my best bet on the program. I was starting to get a little bit excited, but she just petered probably a little bit on her run, and Orchestral just found an extra gear, didn't she? She probably hit just that little flat spot with about 250 to go, but once she picked up again that last 100, 150, she was really strong through the line, which is a good sign for heading towards the Oaks. Roger James and Robert Wellwood have signalled they won't run her in the Derby this week. They won't take on the Queenless Stakes and the older horses on Saturday week. They'll keep her to the Oaks against the fillies, and if she can produce a similar style of performance, she's going to be extremely hard to beat, it goes without saying. So I just want to make a quick mention, Mido, in that race of Nashorilla's ride on Tutu La Vida. He let her circle the field around the 800-metre mark, yeah. And that really made the race, to be fair. And I thought that filly stuck on really, really well in second. But you don't want to take anything away from Orchestral. She is a top, top class filly.
What did you make of another Will on the weekend in that prelude, the Doncaster prelude?
He's great, isn't he, Loz? He's going to start favourite in the Doncaster, you'd think, on Saturday, just given how the market's shaping up at the moment. It's hard to think of a horse that started his preparation in it was a benchmark 64 at Sandown a couple of months ago. It just keeps going through the grades. Every time Kieran Maher raises the bar, he jumps it. That was a thumping win there on the weekend. I know the margin was 2.25, but it was soft in the end. He could have won by more if he wanted to. And there just seems like a really good sense of timing about him for the Doncaster this week. Obviously, with a lightish weight, a horse on the up, obviously only still early in his career. Everything points to him running an extremely good race on Saturday at Randwick. I suppose just the one question mark you've got to have is that he hasn't backed up in his career so far. He's only had 7 starts and hasn't backed up within 7 days so far. So that's got to be just a little bit of a concern in the back of your mind. But if he produces a similar performance, I'm convinced he'll be in the finish on Saturday in the Doncaster.
Cascadian, what a performance to win back-to-back TAB Australian Cups at Flemington.
Yeah, what a horse, Mido. To win 2 Australian Cups in a row is a massive achievement for James Cummings in a Godolphin stable. He's been a good horse in Australia for many, many years now, Cascadian. He doesn't win out of turn, obviously. The wins are, what's the right word? I don't want to say irregular, but he's not a horse that has a really high winning strike rate. But when he finds his right race, he's extremely hard to beat. And we know he loves Flemington. So Pride of Jenny set up that race again. She went out quickly. Beautiful ride by Declan Bates. And you thought for a moment there she was going to pinch that. But Cascadian just had a little bit left in the in the locker to get her in the last 50 metres or so. Mr. Brightside, probably the disappointing performance in the race. I think I saw him pull up with a few issues in the stewards report. But I've got to say, Mido, I'm starting to get concerned about him chasing Pryder Jenny in all these races. He's getting a little bit older now, obviously, and he's been a great horse for many, many seasons. But I don't know if he's being suited to being run off his legs chasing Pryder Jenny in all these races, like the All-Star Mile, obviously Australian Cup there on the weekend. So obviously the Lindsay Park boys will go back to the drawing board with him, so he pulls up out of that race. But yeah, she's had his measure in the last couple of starts.
We're the watch this week, heading towards day one of the championships.
Not great, is it, Mido? Bit of rain forecast for Sydney. We shouldn't be surprised, should we? Because it always seems to rain around the championships at this time of year with a big Doncaster and Derby meeting. So we'll be keeping a very close eye on that at the moment. But I think it's fair to say we'll be working on a rain-affected track come Saturday.
Mate, have a good day.
Hey, boys.